Have you ever wondered what goes on behind the scenes at a professional photography lab? If you have, you are absolutely in the right place for today's conversation on the Focal Points podcast by Enphoto. I have Michael Chikansky with me today, we are going to address so many things that photographers wonder about when they're choosing a lab partner. Do you wonder what goes into product development? Why you have to order from certain catalogs? Why are there minimum order requirements? Those are all questions that many photographers have, and they use them as objections of why they don't work with a specific lab vendor. And this conversation hopefully will open your eyes a little bit behind the scenes about how a professional lab works, answer some of your questions, and give you a little bit of behind the scenes how choosing a lab partner is so very important because they want you to look good, but there's a process in how you can work with them to make it successful. We're going to dive into all those things today on the Focal Points podcast. Welcome to Focal Points, an Enphoto podcast hosted by me, Dori Howell. This is the place to be if you want to ditch the overwhelm in your business and start creating a business that you love. Well, welcome to the Focal Points podcast brought to you courtesy of Enphoto. I'm your host, Dori Howell, and I'm very excited today. And I'm always excited to have guests on the podcast. You hear me say that all the time. But I'm very excited today because I have Michael Chikansky, who is my contact at Enphoto. And I brought him on today to maybe help us learn a little bit more about the company and also how we as photographers can use our labs to the best of our ability to make sure that the images that we get are wonderful out of them. And also so that we understand logistically how this all works, because we have a lot of things going on our side, but trust me, the labs have a lot of things going on their side. So I invited Michael to join me today to just talk about this a little bit. So Michael, welcome to Focal Points.
Hi, Dori. It's a pleasure to be here. Hi, everyone.
So first things first, what exactly is your role at Enphoto? Because that changed recently.
Yeah, I would say it's a bit complicated to describe my role at Enphoto. I'm working in a marketing department, but this is a very short term. But what I do is a business development. So my role is to keep the business going, find new opportunities, discover new ways how to grow our business, how to scale, make new opportunities with photographers, businesses, B2B customers, you name it.
Okay. Now, the next thing I wanted to ask you was that over here in the States, some of us have some assumptions about the labs that we work with, and some of those assumptions are correct, and some of those assumptions are not correct. And I know that when I started working with the Enphoto more closely, specifically in this role, and learned a little bit more behind the scenes about the company setup and really what Enphoto was a part of, because Enphoto is not a standalone entity. It's part of something else. So I was hoping maybe you could explain a little bit about company as a whole that Enphoto is a part of.
Sure. Enphoto is like the, I would say, if you think of a tree, we have one mother company that holds under one roof all the other brands we have, all the branches. And Enphoto is one of those branches of that huge tree. This tree is called, in English would be, Digital Photo. So that's the name of the one mother company.
And but what is it in Polish? How do you say in Polish?
It would be Cyfrowa Foto.
Okay.
So Digital Photo, one by one. And we are based in Poland, to be correct, southern east of Poland, near Rzeszów, just across the border of a Jasionka Airport. So we almost can say that we have our own airport. If you want to visit us, it's pretty easy.
So how many different brands do you guys have under Digital Photos umbrella? How many different brands do you work under?
I'm not sure if I can count all of them because there are many. There are a few brands. Probably the most brands are in Poland and in Europe.
Okay.
We have brands like Colorland. This is our brand dedicated for average consumers, for everyone who loves to print, who wants to share memories, order prints through your phone, through your laptop, print coffee table books, simple products.
Yeah, so that sounds like you have a brand that would be equivalent to what we know as maybe Shutterfly.
Or exactly,
like a consumer brand. And I know from our conversations that you also have brands that serve more of decor for people. You sell wallpaper for professionals and then wallpaper for consumers. So anything that really can be printed, you guys can take care of. And all of those are divided up into different brands underneath that digital photos umbrella. How many employees do you guys have over there?
Most of our employees are based in one location in Rzeszów, and we have around 600 employees on average. That number increases during the season.
Sure. So it's probably about to increase, right?
Yeah, it's going to increase. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And all of those people are divided into certain areas that serve particular brands. We have some shared resources, like, for example, HR or finance, but most of the brands have its own marketing departments or business development departments, and almost all departments work together in some way because we all contribute to one mother brand.
Right. Okay. All right. That makes sense.
Like you mentioned, we have a brand specifically dedicated to decorations. It's called Decor Mint.
And okay, Decor Mint.
Decor Mint, yeah, exactly. And this brand has its own unique products specifically tailored towards decorations, stuff you can put on your walls, like wall art, posters, wallpapers.
Okay.
Stuff like
so
that.
So is the wallpaper, I know podcast listeners can't hear this, but if you check this out on YouTube, did you get the wallpaper that is behind you now from your company? Yes, you did. Exactly. Okay. So it's like trees in a forest, like,
yeah, it's like
but without leaves. It's like brown and
it's
white.
It's like monochrome sepia tone, simple trees that are fairly neutral.
Okay. But most of these brands are not available to a U.S. customer base. Yeah, they are specific
correct.
To
not all
people
brands
in Europe.
Are okay. global, let's say, or they are not okay. global yet.
Okay. Yet. That's a key word there.
Exactly.
Yet, right?
Exactly.
Okay. So let's move on.
Sure.
And I sent you a bunch of questions specific to the photography community that I felt were things that photographers should know about working with you and labs in general. And also some of these questions were from an Instagram story I did on my Instagram a couple, I don't know, 2 weeks ago or so, asking people to submit questions. So we have a few questions here. And one thing I think is always really interesting is what is the process? So say you guys want to develop a new product for us as photographers, a new professional product that we can offer, say like the Triplex, let's use that for an example. And the Triplex has lots of different options from matted images and acrylic images and that type of thing. What is, and this is a really long question, so what's an abbreviated way of kind of going through the product development cycle from idea all the way to when you announce it to us as photographers as something new and exciting that we can present to our clients? Mm-hmm. How does that work? Is there a specific timeline or process that you all go through to bring new products to market?
Mm-hmm. Sure. This is a very good question, but it's also very complicated because from my experience, the bigger you are, the more complex company you are, the longer it takes to make things happen. And in our case, product development is a very broad topic due to the scale of the business of many processes that needs to be streamlined, optimized to reduce the chance of error. And when taking about product development, we usually start by breaking the process into two areas. First, is it a new product? Like, completely new thing, or it's an upgrade. New products are developed by teams working together. It all starts from an idea, a spark that opens the discussions, the discussion where we brainstorm our ideas and thoughts on whatever it's worth investing our time and efforts into a product and what benefits will it bring to the customers, because it's our ultimate goal. We want to make our customers happy. And of course, running a successful business means that we also need to make money. And that said, we carefully do our research, prepare many analysis, benchmarks to forecast how the product will impact our current lineup. Will it improve our customer satisfaction? And finally, when we will achieve ROI, return on investment. Upgrades, on the other hand, are usually simpler. And you may think the whole process is less complicated, but it's not always the case. This is why we always try to judge and score all the products we have and prioritize the ones which on the paper got the most points. By doing so, we are able to focus on the most important projects and assign relevant human resources to the right tasks. And in the end, no matter if it's a new product we work on or an upgrade to existing one, it's always like a teamwork and team effort to make it happen.
Yeah, that's great. And there are some great points in there for photographers to consider when they are looking at expanding their product line or offering something new and different. You need to go through and do a good analysis of what exactly it is, what are the resources that are going to be to make that new product, what is going to be the return on investment after you put in all this time researching and creating something new. How long is it going to take you? How many of these things do you need to sell in order to use to break even and then start to make a profit? And those are things that I don't think a lot of photographers think about because they're not the ones physically making the product, but the same thought process can go into offering a new product as it can go into creating something new from scratch. So those were actually really good points that I don't think a lot of people consider when it comes to expanding their product line in their business.
Yeah.
Because like I said, we don't actually physically make the things that we are selling. In most cases,
usually we can start, and also photographers can start by asking some basic fundamental questions like why, how we're going to do it, why we are going to do it, who needs it, why is it important. And those, by answering those simple questions and thinking about them, we can discover like some new amazing things we can do, the way how we can achieve our ultimate goal.
Right. That's great. Now, along that whole line of product development, sometimes people want something that is truly, truly custom for their client. Say they want to order a complete album set, but instead of just one album, they want a box that might hold three albums, which would be incredibly heavy. I don't know why anyone would want to do that, but it's an example of something that someone might want. So say for a wedding day, they want all the before the ceremony pictures in one album, all the ceremony pictures in another album, and then all the reception pictures in another album. And maybe they have an engagement session on top of it would be four albums. So they want a set, but they want all of that included in one box. Is Enphoto set up to take custom requests like that and make products like that? Or are photographers limited to pretty much what they see on the website as the offerings that anybody get? And there's no right or wrong answer to this. It's just something that I've always wondered about.
Sure. The short answer would be yes. Do you want to hear long answer?
Well, I would assume the short answer would be yes, but it could be fairly expensive.
Exactly. So the long answer would be, since we make most of our products by hand, sky's the limit.
Okay.
But each time we get a request from a customer for a custom order, a custom product, it is always evaluated individually and priced accordingly based on the complexity, time it takes, cost of the materials, cost of the work, how much will it differ from what we currently have in the offer from the, let's say, the base product. So yes, we can make almost everything customer can imagine. Mm. But on the other hand, we try to keep our product quality on a high level, keep production time to the bare minimum, and still mm-hmm. offer a very attractive pricing for our customers. This can be a challenge, and making custom orders could impact our production, which could lead to unnecessary delays or affect the other two factors I mentioned. Mm-hmm. So when you have like a good, healthy organism, like a company who's running fine, if you decide to make a lot of exceptions, a lot of custom orders, then something could go wrong.
Sure, sure.
And to summarize, yes, we can and we will make custom orders. Each request will be treated individually, and every customer receives full details, how long will it take, and what would be the cost of such operation.
All right. So if you have a really great idea for something, just because you don't see it on the web, just like in your own business, just because you don't see it on the website or you don't see it on a price sheet, it doesn't mean it's not available. Just know that there are exceptions to that. And anytime you ask someone to do something out of the ordinary, it could and it should cost more. Just like when people ask me to do something that I don't normally do, I charge extra for it because it's not part of my normal workflow. So that makes total sense. The next question that came up on my Instagram story, someone wanted to know why you have minimum order requirements. So why can't I just go to Enphoto and order 1 5x6 print and have you send me that one single print?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. And I suppose the person who asked this was from the US.
Yeah.
The reason we have such requirement is because of the US market. Unfortunately, for the time being, we are placed in Europe, in Poland. Mm-hmm. So due to several factors, we were kind of forced to have this minimum order of, I believe, $45.
Okay.
And that's because we have to take into consideration the shipping time and cost. Mm-hmm. And most of our products, when ordered to US, have a shipping cost included. So if we were to allow customers to order, let's say, just one print or a product of very low value, this wouldn't make sense for us because we wouldn't make any profit out of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Same thing. Like, it doesn't make sense for clients to come to me and order just one print. That's exactly not why I do sessions. I need them to order a certain amount. So, but you could order one print if you wanted to pay $45 for that one print, because you would, no matter what you order, you have to satisfy that minimum order requirement. And that would be the same when I did have a minimum order requirement with my business. People could have ordered one print, but it would have cost them a lot of money. So it's not something that I encouraged or anybody ever did. But remember, we're all running businesses here. So we have to keep in mind what makes sense for ultimate profitability, which is what's something that we all should be striving for. And Enphoto has to do that too.
Yeah. And sometimes it's also worth to be smart, to mm-hmm. try to hold on. If you know that you will have more clients, more similar orders, then you can order all them together and also save on the shipping.
Right. Well, what I do in that situation when, like, maybe I've forgotten to order a print out of, that's usually what happens in my case, is that I've submit an order through and then they either call to add something on, like a print or two, or I forgot to put something in the order, because I wish my ordering skills were better than they are, but I'm not always the most detail-oriented person, and that's costing me a lot of money. What I do usually is I have a list of family pictures that I need to order, and I just put that in that order. And then when I get it, I've printed out some family pictures that I've needed to probably order for a year or two along with that client. So I always have kind of a side way to be able to make up that minimum order requirement, because I want printed pictures of my family too. So That's when I usually do that. Okay. So the next question that we had is, why can't we combine orders between, for lack of a better word, catalogs? Mm-hmm. Like submit one order that includes albums and wall portraits and prints and maybe some specialty items all in one combined order.
Mm-hmm. Mostly due to the nature of various products, albums or photo books are completely different products than wall decor. And mm-hmm. also here we have to take into consideration the total weight of each item, but also the size. Usually wall arts are bigger and more fragile than books and albums, especially if mm-hmm. you order them with boxes, because the combination of elements related to the requirements of international shipments, but also arrangement with the shipping companies we work with. Mm-hmm. All the commercial parcels are subject to custom processes. And as you know, documentation is required and all the corrections to this are generally not possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be it. And also, if your lab is set up the way I've seen other labs set up, it's like you have certain workflows for each different product. And if you had to take and say, okay, well, the album's done, so we're going to put it on the shelf over here. And we need to wait now for the wall decor to be done. And then we need to wait for the prints to be mm-hmm. done. And nothing comes off and is made at the same time. And then you have to have someone manually put all these things together as far as special shipping packages. That leads to the chance to have more error. So the more you can go with the workflow that's designed, I think the more efficient it would be, at least in my eyes. And I don't really know anything about how this works. I'm enough to be very dangerous. But the more you can go with the workflow, that's more efficient for everyone. Mm-hmm. Would that be a good way to explain it?
Yeah, but also if you made, for example, two orders, you have two invoices. All those documents are generated automatically. And mm-hmm. combining those two invoices into one parcel causes a huge problems. And usually you can expect issues with the customs office. Therefore,
okay.
we try to avoid it because it all slows down the process and increases the costs of the delivery.
Yeah. No one wants problems with the customs office. I can imagine that's a nightmare right there.
Yeah. It's right? always better to think twice before you make any move that can be, let's say, dangerous to you. And
right.
you can always reach out to us, contact us via email, chat, call us. We have great customer mm-hmm. service. We are here to help you.
Right. I have called your customer service department at like 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock my time, meaning that someone was there to answer the phone at like, what, 4 in the morning your time?
Yep.
5 in the morning
hey,
your
we're
time?
Here for you.
And I always fuss at them. I'm like, don't they let you go home? I didn't expect anyone to answer. Like, nope, we're here. Because I think that's some people's hesitancy of working with a company that is overseas and the fact that can they get a hold of people when they need help? What is the customer service going to be what we're used to say here when we're working? And I can attest to the fact that I've never called Enphoto at any time during the business day or when I'm working at night and someone has not answered the phone. And mm-hmm. it's usually someone that I can see on the website. I know who it is. Their face is on the website and they're there to help. And another thing I think people get tied up in like, well, how long do these packages actually take to get delivered? Like if they're coming from so far away, it must take a really, really long time. Mm-hmm. And when I've had questions like that to me, it's being someone who represents Enphoto, I'll say, well, great products take time. And as long as you build those timelines into your business and your clients, you have reasonable client expectations as far as when they're going to get their products, getting something in 10 business days from Enphoto, I think is great. I've never had an issue with how long things take. And I've gotten things, I think, sooner than that. And then I can, because my product lead time for my clients is 6 to 8 weeks. Well, that gives a lot of time for me to maybe make a mistake in ordering and reorder or whatever happens in that process. It gives plenty of time to get things back from the lab, knowing that they're doing their job to get things to me as efficiently as possible. And if there's any delay, it's usually going to be on my end, not on the lab's end. I just have to call myself out on that because it's not always easy to do all that stuff.
Hey, we all make mistakes sometimes.
Oh, that's very generous of you. I make lots of mistakes. In fact, most of my samples that I have sitting in my office here, and I see actually two from Enphoto here, are because I ordered the wrong size album.
Oh, no.
When you order the wrong size album, that's an expensive mistake. They're beautiful, and I love the fact that I have them as samples now, but that's not what the client ordered, right? So I have to own that and eat that. So that's another reason why having good numbers is really, really key. But this is the next part that I think is really important. What are some of the things that photographers need to know about submitting things to Enphoto to make their products look the best that they possibly could be? What are maybe some things that you see come across maybe in customer service, some common issues that we could avoid if we just knew how you guys worked in a certain way, or what we could do to make your job easier so that we look better?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. Usually, you shouldn't overdo your images. All labs, even Enphoto, have a guideline on how you should submit your images.
Right. So we should follow those guides.
Yes. The guides are made to be followed, and you shouldn't complicate your images. Always make sure that you work on your images on a proper display, because this is the key. Make sure that you trust your display. Make sure your display you're working on is color calibrated. Enphoto offers you a color profiles you can download to visualize how your images will look like on certain types of paper. You can soft-proof them and then adjust to taste. Also, make sure to send your files in sRGB format. Don't embed any color profiles, because some people make a huge mistake by saving paper profile or printer profile into a JPEG they send in. And this causes a lot of issues.
All right. I don't even know how to do that. So I'm glad I'm not making that mistake. You know,
your files are fine.
Enphoto does offer color calibration, color correction. Correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, this is something another. A lot of photographers are very, very against trusting the lab to color correct their files. But if anyone has been listening to me for any period of time, for years, I've always been saying, let your lab color correct your files. They are the experts. I have never been steered wrong by having the lab color correct my images. And they always come back beautifully. And the key to that is you need to trust your lab, obviously. Have some test prints made. If they're not right, then you call customer service and you try and figure out what needs to be corrected in that process. But I'm a firm believer in letting the experts do what they're really good at. And I can calibrate my monitor every day. But still, I still let Enphoto color correct my files.
Okay.
They always come back looking better than what I think they should look like. So I've never had any complaints. But I know that if there were ever any issues, it's a quick call to customer service to talk through the issue, figure out what it is so that they come back next time, you know, when it gets reprinted, they come back looking even better. So photographers, don't be afraid of having your lab color correct your files, because especially if you're doing work like I do, which is pretty standard, clean portraiture work.
Okay. What I can add to this is my point of view. If you are a photographer who is developing your own images, you color correct them in Lightroom, Capture One, Photoshop, software like that, and you work on a raw file, you should never ask lab to color correct your images, because the lab will try to make them look as neutral as they can.
Interesting.
If you do any specific adjustments to your images, like subtle toning, maybe you look images to be cooler than usual, or maybe warmer, then you should avoid turning the color correction feature on.
Okay.
Because once the color correction is turned off, Lab won't touch your images in terms of the color. And if your screen is okay, you're working on a good monitor, color corrected monitor, your images mm-hmm. should look as you see them on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
The color correction is for people who don't like to edit their images. And
okay, now you're just calling me out because I don't like to edit.
I'm not saying
I don't like to edit. I don't do that. So
editing is wasting time. You can spend that time in many different ways. If you are a person who don't like to edit, you just want to call them, deliver the images you think you that are the best, you handpick them. There is nothing wrong in not editing your files. You just have to be aware.
Now, you just totally made a whole photography industry. They're going to be like gasping.
I know.
And we have a saying over here, like clutching their pearls because they're so mortified with the fact that you said there's nothing wrong with not editing your files.
Absolutely.
And I say this all the time. If your files are good straight out of the camera, if you're a good, solid shooter, and I'm not scared to show my raw, unedited images to anyone. I show them to clients for selection appointments. So if you're a really good shooter and you don't need to do a lot of post-processing corrections, because that's usually what people are doing, is they're correcting their shooting mistakes on their files. That's what they're calling editing. But if you don't have to do that, it's okay to send those off to your lab. It really just depends on how you want to do it and how it works with your workflow. And there's so many subtleties in this that if you needed help with this, my recommendation, and probably Michael's yours would be too, is to call your lab, call customer service, call InPhoto, talk through how you work with your files and have them become a team member with you. Your lab is on your team. Have them become a team member with you so that you can work together in making sure your work looks exactly like you want it to work.
Exactly.
But most of the time, you can't do that just if you've never entered any sort of dialogue with your lab. Mm-hmm. If you're just sending it off and sending it back and you've never had a conversation with them, you're doing your business a disservice. Absolutely develop that relationship. Find out your customer service reps' names. They want to see you look great and they want to see your customers happy because that makes you happy and then you're a happy customer of the lab. Everybody's happy. So develop that relationship with your lab. Call customer service, even if it's at 10 o'clock at night and you know that all the reps at InPhoto should be sleeping. Pick up the phone and see if they're there and have a conversation with someone. They will become your biggest, I don't want to say cheerleader, but they will become your biggest friend in making sure your images look great. And once they know you, I'm a firm believer in your biggest partners. They should know your name. They should know who you are so that when you call and ask for help, it's just not a blank face out of the crowd. They want to have that sort of rapport with you. That's the word I was looking for, is partner. A lab wants to be a partner for your business. So work with them, call them, develop that relationship with them, find out how you can submit your images in the best way so that they can do their job and make you look really, really great. Well, Michael, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but you want to add one more thing?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
If I were just getting started, probably the number one thing I would do is to order a test print or a sample,
yes,
especially of a product that I want to sell to my clients. If it's an album, I would order a sample album. I would design it with images I am sure. If I edited those images, I would want to see how they are coming out of the lab.
Mm-hmm.
To have like a starting point. If you're not happy with the results, talk to your sales rep, talk to customer service to figure out what you did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are just getting started, you should build the confidence with your provider, your lab. And yep. like I mentioned, you should be having the same results you see on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to what we said a few minutes ago, there's a reason why companies like Apple, Samsung, put a lot of time and development into their systems, camera systems. So, because they want to appeal to the masses. So the mm-hmm. photos you take with a camera built into your smartphone can look as good as it possibly can without mm-hmm. editing. Mm-hmm. There's a reason for that. And there are mm-hmm. plenty of photographers, great, amazing photographers, who don't edit their images, and it's completely fine. If you mm-hmm. do edit your images, great. Just mm-hmm. you have to be sure what you are doing. You have to understand mm-hmm. the process behind the computer in your digital darkroom and the processes that happen in the lab.
Yep.
This has to be a harmony between you and, yes. and the lab.
Absolutely. So you totally brought this around perfectly to the fact of saying you should order a sample. So for those of you who do not know, Enphoto has the best sample program out there. And if you go to our show notes page of focalpointspodcast.com, look for this episode or any episode and click the link where you can get 75% off your first sample product with Enphoto. That is so incredibly generous. You can get an album, a complete set. And not only can you test out their beautiful, beautiful imagery, you can get a sample that you can show your clients at an incredible, incredible industry discount. So don't miss out on that. Go grab your sample by going to the show notes page for this. All right, Michael, I have taken up entirely way too much of your time today, but I want to thank you so much for coming on, explaining a little bit more about Enphoto and then a little bit behind the scenes on product development and how people should work with their lab, how to get the best results possible. And then, of course, we have that great generous discount for people to take advantage of when they visit the show notes page. So thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
It was a pleasure, Dori. Thank you very much.
All right. So as Michael and I were chatting after I stopped recording the original podcast, he reminded me that I forgot to ask him a very important question that he prepared for. And so I wanted to give him a chance to answer this now, because I do believe that this question is really important for photographers when it comes to choosing their lab partner. And like I said earlier, I do believe my lab is my partner in my business. It's not just a random entity that I send off my images too. So, Michael, since you called me out, I'm going to go ahead. We're going to answer this question. And I would love to know, what should we be looking for when it comes to choosing a lab partner for our business?
That's a very tricky question. I can think of like a few factors. And the number one would be probably the value for the money.
Okay.
You are the professional photographer. Yes, you. And people hire you to capture the moment, to keep this memory as a photograph, which will be cherished for years. And how precious for your customers are those memories? Are they priceless? Your pictures, your work are worth what your customers is willing to pay. The more you spend on products, the less margin you will end up with to price the final product.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very important for your business perspective.
Mm-hmm.
At Enphoto, we are very focused on our customers, photographers. We build relationship with them. We help them run their businesses. We want to make them more profit. We build relationship to help them run their business and make more profit and to be successful. We developed our own product designer, mm-hmm. which is completely free to use for our customers. It has many advanced features, and yet it's still very easy to use, mm-hmm. and it runs in your web browser, so you don't have to download anything, install anything in your computer. It's constantly updated with new features added with time. And finally, we also create a lot of marketing materials like PDF, guides, mm-hmm. Template, mockups, that it's all free to help you run your business. Mm-hmm. That's a value for money. Mm-hmm. The second thing would be the turnaround time. What is the turnaround time on the products you will be ordering the most? Is the time to make a handmade product reasonable? Do the lab offer a rush service if you are in a hurry? If not, you may want to look at other print services. Your clients want to see how touch the final product as quickly as possible, and you don't want them to wait for months. Mm-hmm. The three would be options, variables. This topic can easily vary from service to service, but there are still a few points you can hang your hat on. First and foremost, is the website, the ordering system, available in your language? And are they user-friendly, mm-hmm. easy to use? Secondly, do you need to download any specific software just to place your order or do your design? What the payment options are available? Credit cards, debit cards, maybe PayPal, other options. Is the whole process user-friendly? Number four would be the customer service. What kind of customer service does Lab have? How can you reach them? Will you have to deal with a chatbot or wait forever for email reply? Can you call them and will they speak your language? Does the lab offer extended customer service hours to assist you after your normal business hours? Mm-hmm. Are the customer service reps knowledgeable? And finally, are they friendly? And the last thing would be the quality. And the quality, it's not only about the paper or printing method. It's a combination of many factors. It's a journey your digital file takes from the moment you press the shutter button mm-hmm. and made the photo. Process it in a digital darkroom, send it over to a lab with the way you processed it, how the file is treated using a printing method on a particular paper type, with the way the print is prepared along the complicated process to finally make its way as a finished product, whether it's a photo book, photo album, wall art, or a single print, it all matters. Not everyone realizes that an average client won't notice any difference between labs when they compare print side by side, mm-hmm. but the differences for you might be substantial.
Mm-hmm.
This is why you should check how your work looks printed, not on your mobile phone, not on your screen, but printed. Mm-hmm. Ask for product samples, since samples are inevitable when working with clients. You sell what you show. Don't forget about this. People love to feel the product in their hands. This is the whole experience. You just have to allow them to have this experience. Mm-hmm. And final thing, in the end, we are all humans and we sometimes make mistakes. And the quality is also how the lab handles issues
yes.
when they occur. Don't forget about it.
Yeah, that is so, so, so important, especially that last bit. I know that people are human.
Yeah, hey, we all make mistakes.
It's all there, but how is that handled? Like, is it handled to your satisfaction? Is it corrected? Do you come to a satisfactory resolution to the situation
Absolutely.
At hand? And it isn't always in someone's favor. Someone you may not, you know, any conflict resolution or fixing mistakes isn't always fun, but the better communication you have, and it goes back to what mm-hmm. I said in the podcast of like making sure you know your customer service reps, get to know them, make sure they know who you are.
Yeah. Communication is the key.
Yeah. The more of a relationship you have and a partnership you have, the better things are going to be when something does go wrong, because something will go wrong. That's just the way it happens. Whether it's yeah. Dory ordering an 8x8 album when she should have ordered a 10x10 and I need to fix that, or maybe the color, just anything can happen. So if you treat them like a partner and you have that relationship and you have that communication, it makes resolving those issues so much easier. Well, I'm glad you called me out and made me have you answer this question. I appreciate it. Michael, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Dorit. It's a real pleasure.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to head over to the show notes page at blog.enphoto.com/podcast. That's blog.enphoto.com/podcast. Get the download for this program and link to a wonderful, wonderful 75% off special for your first sample order from Enphoto. You don't want to miss it.